Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharakana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Today, we are joined by our guest, Tania Kuntz.
Tania Kuntz is an enthusiastic genealogist with a longstanding passion for exploring family history and more than 20 years of professional expertise in information science, research, and information organization. Through her initiative, the Academy of Legacy Leaders, Tania provides solutions that aid genealogy and family history enthusiasts in implementing strategic and systematic approaches to save, organize, and preserve family history so they can focus on being leaders in sharing family memories and legacies over generations. Tania also volunteers extensively in the genealogy community and is currently serving as president of the National Chapter of the Afro-American Historical and Genealogical Society. Welcome to Speak On It, Tania.
Oh, thank you both so very much. I'm delighted to be with you tonight.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining us and kind of welcome back in a way.
That's so, right.
Yeah. So we'll get started. So Tania, when did you start Academy of Legacy Leaders and why?
Oh my goodness. So I started the group in January of 2020. And the reason I started it is because I had been blogging for, I guess, about 15 years at that point. And over the course of 15 years, you establish a community, right? So I would have people who would make comments on my blogs or email me when they got my blog post. And I really just enjoyed those conversations with others who were just as passionate and interested in family history as I was. And so I began to think, wouldn't it be nice to have a space where we could just have constant communication that I didn't necessarily have to rely on, you know, my blog post coming out and then replying to it, but that I could learn more about what they were doing, what everyone else was up to, and we would just have a community. So I said, you know what, I'm going to start a Facebook group. So I did, and I started it in January 2020. Now, at that time, I didn't call it Academy of Legacy Leaders. I think the name that I had for it was like Tania's Family History Community Collective or something like that. But after a few months, I really began to think about it some more. So I want to make this a little bit more formal, a little bit,
right,
you know,
right,
give it some more credence. So renamed it Academy of Legacy Leaders. And I decided that all of my genealogy work would kind of funnel through Academy of Legacy Leaders and offshoots thereof. So that's the story of the name, Academy of Legacy Leaders.
I was wondering about that. So I'm glad you shared about that. That's awesome.
Yes.
I also think that's the first, around that time I met you. I forget what was the catalyst first meeting, but I remember I met you when you started that.
Yes.
Tania, please share the purpose or focus of Academy Legacy Leaders. What is that?
All right. So the purpose, so I have a tagline for the group. Okay. So the group name is Academy of Legacy Leaders, a group for family history enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. And my tagline is a group for inspiration, education, and camaraderie. And I really try to focus and channel what we do in the group through those veins of inspiration, education, and talking to each other, as I was just describing. So the purpose is to provide a platform where we can do that. You know, there are so many online groups already, like for example, on Facebook, where people share a lot of links to other things. And I didn't want it to just be links to resources. I wanted to have conversations around right. what we were learning. And I wanted to showcase what everyone is doing because it helps inspire us all to see the successes and even the challenges that people have or what people are worried about. And then the idea of camaraderie is the back and forth conversation. So that's the initial purpose of the group is to do that. Now, a secondary purpose of the group is I really want to help and serve others. Mm-hmm. And so by having the group, it allows me to really understand what people are looking for, what people need, so that I can serve you all best in my capacity as someone who's interested in helping you get organized and helping you preserve and save those family memories. So it's a dual purpose group. And you know, it's been one that I think has been going so well.
We would agree, absolutely.
Yes, totally.
And you know, as you mentioned, education being the purpose, Tania, you ask engaging questions several times a week on Academy of Legacy Leaders Facebook page, and even your Instagram as well. Do you have a specific source for your questions, or are they based on personal experiences that you think would be of interest?
Wow. So yeah, I do ask a lot of questions. Again, that's to help inspire those conversations and the back and forth discussions. And I ask them in order to really get a pulse of what people are going through and what people want to know. Sources for them, it varies. And sometimes it comes from my own personal experience. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's based on, okay, so I have a strategy sometimes of working my own family history where I will look at who has a significant event on any given day. So, you know, I might say, oh, well, who's born on, you know, March 15th? And it'll say it's March 15th. And I go look at March 15th and I'll look and I may work on those person's records and I might be inspired by something going on with that person. So that's one of the ways I get inspiration is who am I working on today or recently in my family history?
Oh, cool.
Another source of inspiration just might be things that are going on, right? We're doing genealogy, doing family history. I come across things, I run across things. And I say, well, that might be a good question for the group. And so I'll throw the question out there. So it's just based on what's going on in the course of a day,
right?
really and truly, and what I think might be good discussion prompts or things to share with the group.
Tania, can you share the experience when you were talking about, you know, source of inspiration? I remember recently, maybe within the past 2 or 3 weeks, there was a VHS tape, I think that you had digitized and it moved you. And I was sitting there like, oh my gosh, what happened? So can you share that with our listeners, that experience?
You're going to make me cry all over
again. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
goodness.
It was so moving.
So moving. I have to share this. All right. So one of my missions, right, is to help people save and organize and preserve their family memories. And for the long term, not just, you know, because we throw it up in Google Photos and who knows what happens to Google Photos 3 years from now.
Right.
So the platform that I use is a company called Forever, and they offer digitization services. So I had a cousin who had a VHS tape of the birthday party of his mom. His mom was my grandmother's sister, one of her sisters. And I remember I was at this birthday party. I was about 13 years old. And I have pictures from the party. And I had posted a picture of her. And he commented on our family Facebook group. And he commented, well, I've got the video. I said, what? So I asked him, could we get that digitized? He said, yes, we can do it. So we sent it away and it came back and I shared it on my family Facebook page and everybody just loved it because, you know, she's passed away. My grandmother's passed away. Almost all there were 8 siblings total. Many of them have now passed away. And then all these extended family members, because it was a surprise birthday party for her. So then we get her on video, the surprise for her. You know, I'm in the video at 13, my siblings, my dad, my sister was only not even 2 years old yet. And we don't have any footage of when she was a baby. And she's just mesmerized by seeing herself at such a young age. And just to see on video, moving sound, the experience of what was going on, the party, just the memories it brought back for so many people. It just, my family just raved and raved about having the ability to relive this experience and see their family members again. I didn't have a video of my grandmother and we have video of her now, like to hear her now, to see her now. It just is so incredibly moving. And that's what I want everyone to experience, right? And so, yeah, that was incredible. And, you know, we're still doing work with the video to make sure we capture the full story. But yeah, Janice, that video, it was incredibly moving for all of our family members.
Awesome. Sharing it on your Facebook page and also with our listeners. So as an enthusiastic genealogist, how excited are you about the 1950 census records becoming available on April 1st, Also, please share what information will be included in the 1950 census records that we are sure will be helpful to family history researchers and historians.
Oh my goodness. I am incredibly excited. I think the whole genealogy community is just waiting on pins and needles for this thing to get released.
Because absolutely.
Yeah. Don't you just love when you have access to those census records?
Yes.
And you know, there's so much to be learned. So, you know, you asked about what type of questions I think are on the census. You know, there was a lot of discussion about the questions that are on the census this time around because they didn't ask as many questions as they've had in the past. Mm-hmm. And some of the questions that we got in 1940 were only asked of sample people this time around, such as where were you living in a previous year? Where were you living? Okay, 1940 was where were you living 5 years ago? 1950 is where were you last a year ago? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't asked of everybody. So there are, in some ways, there are fewer questions asked. They asked more extensive questions to six people per page as opposed to two people per page in 1940. But you know, what I find so particularly interesting about the census is not just the data points that we get. So we're still gonna get name, age, you know, sex of the person, relationship status. We're gonna get those components.
Right.
Maybe less of some of those other things that we are interested in as genealogists, but you know, the census isn't made for us as genealogists. It's made to count our population, right? But we take great advantage of it. Now, what interests me are the stories that get uncovered, because in seeing where your family's at in the census, seeing where they lived and who they live next to, you can get some incredible insight. So if I could take just a moment, I really want to share what my first discovery was in the 1940 census as an example of what I mean.
Absolutely.
So the 1940 census, one of the first people I looked up was my grandmother, Cora, the one who I actually have the video of now. So she was from Craven County. So Chiricahua, Craven County, North Carolina.
Yes. You
know? Yes. So, I looked her family up and saw that they were living next to another family that I knew about. Now, this other family that I knew about was a white family, and the last name was Tew, T-E-W. And I knew the people in the household because one of my colleagues at my employer had family connections to this family. This family living next to my family was the brother of his great-grandfather. So I said, whoa, wait a minute, what? And so I called my great aunt and I said, tell me about this family living next door to yours, because I know someone who's related to that family now. So my family's Black family, his family's white family. She explained to me that that family, the guys in that family were very, very good friends of her uncles and would stand up for them in case, you know, the uncles experienced any type of racial discrimination, was always there to protect their back. They, you know, they were really good friends. Oh. They, you know, of course, this is 1940 rural North Carolina, right? So you can imagine some of the things that, you know, African-American families would go through, but this family tried to protect her family and were friends with her family. And I just thought this I felt like a connection because I felt close to my colleague who was related to that family. So I thought, is this some type of intergenerational, you know, connection that's remanifested itself? So that was a discovery I got from the census and seeing that. So it wasn't just about the facts. It's about the stories. Yes. And I think that's what excites me so greatly about having another opportunity to find more stories.
Wow. Love that. Love that. And Janice, I'm sure you feel similarly. That line,
yes.
It's not just about the facts.
Yep.
It's the stories.
What are the stories? I want to know the stories. And I say that in a lot of my presentations. Don't just collect names. You've got to find out what those stories are. Talk to the older relatives as soon as possible. Wow.
That's right. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no, thank you.
That's really inspiring. And it's getting us excited. I mean, as you said, genealogists, we're already excited about this. But Tania, you are an inspiration to so many people in the genealogy community. And we appreciate all that you have done and continue to do. So we are excited to celebrate you and highlight you during Women's History Month. So can you share with our listeners what's next for you and your involvement with the upcoming Roots Tech 2022?
Oh, yes. Yes. Roots Tech. Another thing we're all excited about. Yes. So Roots Tech. Okay. So I think we know it's the largest, you know, genealogy conference in the world, and the scale at which they are bringing family history to the world is just incredible. Right. With the participation you're getting across the whole world. I am honored to be able to be a part of a panel discussion on Saturday, March 5th. And in this panel, the group, we're going to be talking about different community projects that we've each been engaged with. These are projects designed to bring forth genealogy records that are really impacting a whole community. And so I'm one of, I think, about 8 presenters to share just a little piece of one of the projects I'm doing. And the project I'll be talking about is a project to index historical newspapers, and particularly a crowdsourced approach to doing that. And we're starting in the state of Tennessee. And so we've gotten that underway, and I'm both sharing some of the experiences and lessons learned from getting that project underway. And it's just been, it's already shown its impact. And we've been, you know, really engaged in this for about 2.5 months now. And it's already shown its impact. Our volunteers have indexed, I think, more than 10,000 names at this point from old issues of historical newspapers in Tennessee. So I'm just excited to be part of it. I got the chance to share the vision for it last year at Roots Tech, and now to be engaged in it and seeing it come to fruition has just been so incredibly exciting. And, you know, I am looking forward to seeing all the other presentations as well, hearing the speakers, you know, connecting with others. I've taken days off so I can participate. So it's just going to be an exciting time. It is an exciting time for everyone. I mean, you know, we are in the midst of all of this, and to be part of such a festive and engaged community of family historians as we're engaging in Roots Tech, it's nice.
That is awesome. And that newspaper project is just like, newspapers are such an underrated tool. And I think, you know, I think of back of what, to what you said about the purpose for Academy of Legacy Leaders with service to others. And
yes,
I think how that, you know, perfectly highlights that, because people need, you know, access to that information in order to learn more about our family history and our past and just our country's past as well. So that's really, really cool. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, you're very right. It gives good access. And, you know, we have so many digitized papers, but we want a human eye on it, just because we think when we have people who are from these areas, it can help better, you know, better index some of the news that's being captured and the names that are being reported. And so we're just incredibly excited by it. So yeah, I love newspapers. I could talk about them forever.
Well, so do I. I found so much helpful information. But Steve, you know what? One question we didn't ask, and I think our listeners would love to hear this. As far as your family research, how far have you gone back in research?
Oh my goodness. I've been fortunate to have a few lines where I've really been able to go back. I think my most recent discovery was an ancestor of mine who was born, let's see, he was born around 1820. And I found in the Freedmen's Bank records, a bank deposit slip that his brother had written that named their parents.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
So I think they're like 6 generations back from me.
What are your locations as far as states?
North Carolina primarily, Eastern County. So Craven County, Lenoir County, and then Edgecombe County and Washington County. And a little bit of central North Carolina or down near Charlotte area. My mother's family is from there, but most of my research is focused on those Eastern North Carolina counties.
Right. You definitely want to check your email as well, because I think there was an email today where a researcher is looking for families, or if you found someone in the Freedmen's Bank records that they wanted to hear from you. So definitely double check your email.
I'll look for that. Yeah, but it just goes to show we have such incredible sources available to us and what we can learn. Absolutely. So I was pleased to make that discovery. Of course, I've got more research to do because there's always something to investigate.
Yeah.
But when you can get back that far, it's incredibly illuminating, because you really get a chance to learn what you can about what they lived through and what they experienced. So
So before we get to our next question, I just wanted to say, especially celebrating Women's History Month, Tania, thank you for everything that you have done to help the genealogy community. You are truly an inspiration and a guiding light to so many in the genealogy community, and you are a woman of integrity and character, and I admire that about you. Yes. And appreciate that about you as well.
Well, thank you so much. And you both are too, right? And this is the great thing about Women's History Month is we really get to raise and celebrate each other as women. And absolutely. We appreciate what you were doing too. So thank you.
And that you do. You're always like a ray of sunshine, always. So Tania, please share with our listeners your parting words of inspiration regarding family research and successfully pursuing your genealogy goals.
Ooh, parting words. Well, you know, recently I've been on this mission to really just encourage people to, you know, get started. So when I help, for example, people get organized, people are like, well, where do I start? So just get started. Same thing with family history. You don't have to know all the ins and outs. You don't have to know all the right way to do things. Get started. Right. Then once you've started, then you can get better, but get started. Those conversations, start talking, start documenting, start organizing. I have to say that, but then you can get better over time. Or maybe better is not the right word. You may realize you have specific goals you want to accomplish, so you can start focusing on reaching specific goals, but get started. Those are my words. Just get started. You will benefit from it. You will learn from it. You will be richer for it. Get started.
What about that digitizing piece? Because I know I struggle with getting rid of my papers. So instead of having a whole bunch of papers, just real quick, I think our listeners would appreciate you sharing how they can digitize. Oh. And can you share just a little bit about that?
I can. So absolutely. So that's one of the things that I specialize in, is helping people digitize and get organized and saving those. So number one tip for digitization, again, get started. Digitize one thing today, one thing tomorrow. Pick a home for your digital repository. So try not to be spread out all over the place. And if you are, say, you know what, today I'm going to pick a home. Now, my home, of course, is Forever. That's what I use. But pick a home, right? Get a central hub. I actually have a video in my group where I talk about this, right? A central hub. So once you have your hub, you start filling up that hub. And then if you need to use it for something else, you pull from your hub. But consolidate. Consolidation is such an important principle for organization. You can't see what you have if you don't have it all in one spot.
Right.
Oh, I like that. You can't see what you have if you don't have it all in one spot. What is the Forever? What is that?
Oh, Forever is a platform I use for saving all of my digital memories, whether it's a photo, a video, or a document. And they're unique in the industry because they have a focus on forever. So they guarantee that your materials will be available for at least 100 years, if not more. And the way they accomplish that is because their business model is set up like, you know, like a university, like an insurance company. These are institutions that have been around for hundreds of years. So their business model is set up for that. And their platform covers the whole spectrum, from digitization, saving, cloud storage, desktop applications, if you want to work on your desktop, creating projects so you can showcase and share your family history. And then there's the preservation access aspect to it, that your family members will be able to have it in perpetuity. So
is there a website?
There is a website. It's forever.com. And I guess hopefully we can share. I have a referral link if anyone's interested in it, but you can sign up for a free exploratory account. And then if anyone decides to go further, they can invest in the permanent storage space. But it has transformed the way I've organized my own family history to the point that I became an ambassador. You know, what's that commercial? I'm not only a client, I'm a president, you know, that commercial from the old days. But I just really benefited so much from it that I needed to go the next level. And so I like to teach others how to do that as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we know you in the genealogy space, and like organization is like one of your many strengths, and it's so inspiring, you know, and it's like so cool. And I see like your posts, and it's like, wow, Tania is like on it.
she's on it, and I feel guilty. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm not always on it.
It's so inspiring because it's like, no, like seriously, You got to get organized because, you know, if you don't, the stuff gets scattered all over the place. Next thing you know, you can't find it. And then, you know, you're frustrated. But
right. There's nothing more frustrating.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, things happen, but some stuff can, you know, it's avoidable.
Some of it is avoidable. So yeah, that's what I love to do. I want to help people, you know, accomplish what they want to accomplish. And I want to help people reduce their overwhelm. I want to help people not get frustrated. I want to be a supportive person there. And I like the community. The whole community is supportive of each other in the Academy of Legacy Leaders. So that's what I strive for. You know, I'm glad to have partners and, you know, collaborators and colleagues and friends, such as the two of you and your community as well. So
well,
I really
appreciate
it.
You kept saying, I want to be. You are. Everything that you listed that you want to be, Tania, you are that.
So Tania, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners. Always so much fun to talk with you. And for additional information regarding Academy of Legacy Leaders, you can visit Tania's Facebook page. That's facebook.com/groups/academy.legacy.leaders. Or you can visit her website at taniakoontz.com. That's KOONCE. And Tania is spelled TANEYA. So we thank you for joining us, and we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On.
Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. We are forever thankful to Bernice Bennett, who hosted research at the National Archives and beyond, for entrusting us to continue her broadcast legacy through Speak On It. Thank you.